சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மிதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஓம்.
Many of you are my students attending my classes regularly, and I do get a regular feedback from the students. Generally, the students are happy that they are able to study the scriptures, but some students have been feeling that there should be some program which they can practice in their lives. They feel that they have a lot of study but very less implementation. They feel there is a lot of theory but very little of practice. And therefore some of them asked me whether I can design some program which they can follow, they can implement. So for the benefit of those students who feel that they lack a program to implement, I thought I will design some program. And I was wondering when I can present the program. Then I thought that the new year 2000 will be the ideal occasion to present my program, primarily for the benefit of those who feel the lack of some program to practice. And the other people who don't feel like that can take my speech as just a reinforcement of the teaching which they have been listening to and which they have been following in their own way. So I am going to present a program. And the program is a 1 year project which can be renewed every year. And this program can be practiced as it is, or it can be modified to suit the convenience of the particular person. The program is practice of the 10 commandments of Hinduism. Practice of the 10 commandments of Hinduism. I will give my speech in 2 parts. In the first part, I will enumerate the 10 commandments and give you a brief definition from the angle of practicing. I am not going to elaborately discuss the commandments. I am going to enumerate and briefly define. And then in the second part, I will talk about the method of implementation or practice. First, I will enumerate. The 10 commandments consist of 5 things to be avoided and 5 things to be followed. 5 nivritti rupa and 5 pravritti rupa. In simple English, 5 don'ts and 5 do's. The do's and don'ts of Hinduism. The 5 don'ts are called Yamaha. And the 5 do's to be followed are called niyamaha. So, yama, niyama rupa dasha. Of these two groups, the scriptures consider the five yamas to be more important than the five niyamas. And therefore, while enumeration, the yamas are enumerated first, things to be avoided, then the niyamas are enumerated later. And I consider that practicing them is extremely important for the entire humanity, more important for Hindus who claim themselves Hindus, and still more important for the students of Vedanta. First, we will see the Pancha Yamaha. The first one is called Ahimsa. Ahimsa is known to you, it is avoidance of violence, avoidance of injury. And this Ahimsa has got several aspects. But the grossest form which we have to concentrate first is physical violence. Those people who have the weakness of taking to physical violence, they have to first concentrate on handling this problem. Physical violence means beating other people, throwing things, flying cups and saucers, throwing away books and pens and pencils, banging one's own head on the wall, banging the telephone. All these come under physical violence, which is the grossest form, and one who starts this project should first pay attention to the weakness of physical violence and try to avoid that. This comes under Ahimsa. Those people who are already free from this weakness can concentrate on verbal violence, shouting, abusive language, indecent expression, using the names of varieties of animals and insulting the animals also. All these come under verbal violence. So the first commandment is avoid physical violence and verbal. Deeper forms of Ahimsa I am not discussing now because I consider this as the elementary projection. Then the second one is Satyam. Satyam can be translated as truthfulness. It is primarily a verbal discipline by which I maintain the harmony between my words, my knowledge, and my motive. My words do not hide my knowledge and my motive. This harmony between thought and word is called Satyam, truthfulness. Here, this value of Satyam is included in Yamaha. And since it comes under Yama type of discipline, you have to redefine Satyam. Because Yama is defined as something to be avoided. So when Satyam satyam is included in yama, you have to define it properly. What is that? Avoidance of asatyam. The focus is more on avoidance of asatyam. In short, don't tell lies. This is the second commandment. Don't tell lies. Or don't speak untrue. Then the third commandment is asteyam. Asteyam literally means non-stealing. So non-violence, truthfulness, non-stealing. When we say non-stealing, we may wonder whether this value is required for us, because we don't steal, we are not thieves. But remember, stealing does not mean breaking into houses and stealing wealth. Remember, any unfair transaction through which I derive some benefit, that unfair transaction and the benefit that I derive, that will come under stealing only. Any benefit that I derive through any unfair transaction is stealing. And even when I don't pay a person what his due is, that also comes under a form of stealing, because what legitimately belongs to the other person, I don't give and I possess that, and therefore it is illegal, illegitimate, unjust, unfair possession. It comes under stealing. And non-stealing therefore means give up all unfair transactions. Number four is brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam means every man should have a decent and appropriate attitude towards all women, and every woman should have a decent and appropriate attitude towards every man. This decent and appropriate attitude towards the opposite sex is called brahmacharyam. And here also we should note that brahmacharyam is enlisted in the yama group. Since it comes under yama group, we have to present brahmacharyam in a proper language. What is that? Not giving up of proper attitudes. You have to say giving up of all the indecent and the inappropriate attitude towards the opposite sex. The focus is on giving up of improper attitude. This is called brahmacharyam. The fifth one is aparigraha. Parigraha means possession. Aparigraha literally means non-possession. What do you mean by non-possession? By non-possession, what the scriptures mean is lead a simple life. Give up luxury, pomp and show. A simple life alone is suitable for high thinking. So, aparigraha means keeping the necessary thing. Of course, the problem is what is necessary will vary from individual to individual. I don't want to get into that topic now. Whatever is required, that we should draw a line. Therefore, limiting the possessions is non-possession. But there is another aparigraha which is still more important. What is that? Even after limiting our possession, whatever limited possessions we have, towards those limited possessions also, we should not develop possessiveness. That means, I should repeatedly remind myself that I don't possess anything. Whatever I have belongs to the Lord. Everything I have, not only things, even relations, they are all gifts from the Lord for my temporary use and growing. I cannot possess or own anything. Lord has freedom to give me anything, and Lord has the freedom to take away anything with advanced notice or without advanced notice, even the very life itself. If you ask the hijacked people, they will tell you that. Therefore, I possess less, and whatever little I possess, I remember that it belongs to God. I am using it temporarily with gratitude towards the Lord. And whenever Lord wants it, I am ready to return with a note of what? Not with a note of curse, but with a note of thank you. This is aparigraha, less possession and freedom from possessive attitude. These five will come under pancha yama. They are considered mahavratani, the greatest vratams to be followed, coming under samanya dharma. Then comes pancha niyama. The first niyama is shaucham. Shaucham means what? Cleanliness. Purity. Here also, to begin with, I want to focus on the grosser physical purity, and later we can think of the subtler inner purity. Therefore, shaucham can be defined as keeping everything around me clean. Starting with physical body, it is clean. The clothes I wear are clean. Nails are clean. Nail cutting habit and whatever. The nails are regularly cut and kept clean. House is kept clean. Not the drawing room. Not that alone. Every nook and corner, whether the visitors visit or not. So they are all clean, the drawer, the bureau, behind the bureau, behind the television. You go and watch behind the television, unwatchable. Then bathroom, then the toilet, everything including the bucket and mug, everything is spick and span, not on a Pongal day alone, but throughout. And the Shautam not only includes the cleanliness, Shautam includes orderliness also. In many houses, things are clean, but it is a mess indicated by anything they want, they have to search. You want to give a phone number, they will look for a paper and a pen, it will never be available. After 10 minutes, you get a pen which won't write. So, I don't know what all things are there, and I never know where they are there. Shautam means everything has got a place, a beautiful formula to follow. Everything that I possess has a place. It should have a particular place, including for borrowed things. Otherwise, you won't know the difference. What is borrowed in a sarvatma bhavaha, you know? Adala Vedantathila. You should know the difference. And everything has got a place, and everything is kept only in that place when it is not used. Very simple but important rule, that is cleanliness and orderliness. This is extremely important value. Then comes the seventh or the second niyama, that is santoshaha. Santoshaha means contentment, satisfaction. This contentment has to be developed in two levels, because we have twofold pursuits. One is we earn, and the other is we own. Earning and owning. In the initial stages, we earn everything and we own everything that we earn. This is earning and owning everything. The first stage of contentment is contentment at the level of owning while earning continues. We don't talk about contentment at the level of earning initially. At the level of earning, don't have contentment. Earn plenty, but develop contentment with regard to owning. Then what will happen? When you earn more and own less, when you produce more and consume less, you are generating a lot of wealth for the benefit of the society, the community, the nation. Such a person is called a karma yogi, who earns more and owns less. And after following this value for some time, thereafter one can develop contentment with regard to earning also, that is jnana yoga level. At karma yoga level, contentment is at the owning angle, not at the earning. Once a person comes to jnana yoga alone, contentment with regard to both earning and owning. This is called santoshaha or tripti. And this has to be done as a niyama, means it should be a positive thought entertained. Regularly, I think of the things that I own rather than thinking of the things that I don't have. And being grateful to the Lord and just seeing my richness in terms of what I own, this non-beggarliness of the mind, developing a sense of abandon. This is called the principle of abundance. I tell my mind, I have plenty. Because abundance is not an external condition, it is a mental state. If I don't have that thought in the mind, I can have billions of dollars and still feel poor. On the other hand, if inner abundance is there, then I am really rich. Not only rich, only when I have the thought of abundance, my mind can share my wealth with others. Without santosha, dhanam can never take place. Santosha is the basis for dhanam. And therefore, santosha is a positive thought of fullness with whatever I have. Yellabhate nija karmopatam vittam tena vinodaya. Feel full. Then the next one, that is the eighth commandment, is tapaha. Tapas literally means austerity. And this austerity also has got several dimensions. And Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, first emphasizes the grossest form of austerity, which is physical activity. Devadvija Guru Prajna Pujanam. The grossest form of tapas is physical activity. Not only from religious and spiritual angle, even from health angle, we all require physical activity or exercise. In the olden days, this need not be emphasized because our very lifestyle involved lot of walking, lot of cleaning, going to the river for bathing, going to temple, and that to huge temples, each pradakshina will be 1 kilometer. But nowadays, one aspect which we are all ignoring, which the health people are emphasizing, is physical exercise is tapaha, and therefore we have to emphasize some kind of a physical activity. The ideal thing being Surya Namaskara, or any such activity should be an integral part. Otherwise, it is ill treatment of the body, negligence of the gift that the God has given. Therefore, tapas means a regular physical activity to maintain the health, at least both spiritual and physical health. As somebody nicely said, one who cannot spend a few minutes daily for maintaining the health, later will have to spend months for recovering the health. For maintenance of the health, the effort required is less. Whereas once the health is lost, then recovering it is almost impossible. And therefore the grossest form of tapas is physical tapas. Shaucha, santosha, tapas. Then the next one is swadhyayaha. Swadhyayaha is also a very important commandment, scriptural study. Once upon a time in our tradition, scriptural study was done by every Hindu. It was an integral part of religious sadhana. It is a daily ritual they have to follow, known as Brahma Yajna. And even in Brahmacharya Ashrama, scriptural study was made an integral part. But nowadays, scriptural study is not at all given importance. They think that scriptural study is meant only for some intellectuals, but not for all. But we should remember that in these 10 commandments, scriptural study is included. It is a daily thing, and a person should minimum study the Bhagavad Gita. It is the 9th commandment, Swadhyaya. And then, finally, Ishvara Pranidhanam. Ishvara Pranidhanam means surrender to God. Surrender to God is Ishvara Pranidhanam. What do you mean by surrender to God? Looking upon every experience that I get in my life, favorable or unfavorable, every experience I look upon as God's manifestation. Because every experience is the result of my past action, we look upon as karma phalam. You may call it pain or pleasure, we call it karma phalam. Behind every karma phalam, there is the law of karma. Karma niyatihi is involved. And behind the law of karma, there is the Lord of that law. The Lord is invisible. The Lord's laws are invisible. But when the Lord and the laws shape the karma phala, the karma phalam is a tangible experience. And therefore, every pleasure and pain in my life is a tangible manifestation of the intangible Lord. And therefore, Lord Himself is giving darshanam in the form of every bhoga, and I welcome and accept without resistance. The acceptance of every bhoga, every experience without resistance is sharanagati, Ishvara Pranidhanam. Then one may ask, where is the question of acceptance as a practice? Whether I like or not, what cannot be cured has to be endured. So what should I practice here? The importance is, when I don't accept, when I only endure the karma phala, the experience will produce unhealthy thoughts in the mind in the form of bitterness, anger, hatred, frustration, etc. Allowing the experiences to produce frustration, to produce a hatred, to produce anger, allowing that to happen is non-acceptance. It is resistance. The indication of resistance is every unfavorable experience leaves a bitterness in my mind. And this cumulative bitterness developed every day. So my son behaved like that, or quote of bitterness. My daughter-in-law behaved like that, another quote of bitterness. my husband or wife, big quota of bitterness. Then after a few years, our heart is full of bitterness and hatred and frustration. Now acceptance means, I don't allow any experience to generate that. And this is called Ishvara Pranidhana, and this has to be done on an everyday basis. Just as we have to wash the dust, not once in a year, because once in a year, kulikiravachunga, new year shana, acid dam pota. Thus it will become too thick. And therefore, daily night, I have to recollect the experiences, especially the unfavorable, and every night itself, I say, I accept, I don't want to keep any bitterness, hatred towards anyone, and if no one is there, God is always there to get angry with. Why me? This is called Ishvara Pranidhana, surrender to God. These are the Pancha Niyama. These 10 are to be practiced by all the people. Not like school examination, answer any 3 questions, Allah Madri. They have not given choice. They are called Samanya Dharmaha. And without that, Vedanta cannot work. It will remain lip service, or it will be it churakai. The cassettes will get liberated. But they are not bound anyway. So this is the first part of my speech, the enumeration of the 10 commandments. Now I come to the implementation or practice. I said it is a 1-year project. And what I mean is that one should focus on one commandment for a month. Because each one is important, each one requires attention, and therefore each month should be dedicated for a commandment. Like we have got road safety week, adu madri ahimsa month, asteya month, aparigraha month. Each month should be dedicated for a commandment. Don't ask me, Swamiji, there are 12 months and only 10 commandments. Wait, I will give you my full project. Now, how do you implement each of these commandments? The implementation can be made effective by following the 5-fold strategy. By following 5-fold strategy, one has to carefully implement them. What are the 5-fold strategy? The first one is a resolve, in Sanskrit, sankalpaha, on a daily basis. I start the day with a resolve that today I will follow this commandment. For 1 month, that one commandment has to be. And how do you do the resolve or sankalpa? The method you can use is, have a notebook. In that notebook, early morning, the moment you get up, the first job should be writing 24 times, write, I will practice Ahimsa today. I will practice Ahimsa today. Don't write like the school imposition. I sorry, not about it. Ahimsa, 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 Ahimsa. Practice, practice, practice. Samji, neenga idu pandrikke, sonradhe kedaadhu. I won't tell you whether I did or not. I am only telling you, don't do that. Okay. With full heart, with sincerity, with commitment, I write 24 times every day. This is strategy 1. The strategy 2 is precaution. In Sanskrit, it is called avadhanam or apramadaha. Shastras point out, pramadovai mrityuhu. Negligence is spiritual destruction for a seeker. We can never afford to be loose, complacent or negligent. Shankaracharya tells, purlu avadhanam mahad avadhanam. Avadhanam means what? Alertness. How does it help, if you ask? When you read the newspapers, you will find often so many tragedies, accidents taking place. And after many accidents and tragedies, the government will institute a team of inquiry. Until the team of inquiry gives the report, we would have considered that the accident was inevitable, which is beyond our control. But mostly you watch at the end of the inquiry that negative incidents has happened because of negligence with regard to very few simple, effortless, precautionary methods. Whether it is the escalator tragedy, whether it is hijacking of the plane, whether it is the Orissa cyclone, or whether it is even Titanic sinking, even that, they have found that most of the tragedies are because of negligence with regard to a few simple precautionary steps, which can be effortlessly taken. And if that is not taken, the consequences are beyond our capacity. Precautions are within our capacity, even like maintenance of health. Maintenance of health requires only observing certain simple basic rules of health. It doesn't require too much of energy and time and commitment. But generally, when that is neglected, you will find the consequences are often life-threatening. And therefore, the second strategy is what? Taking the precautionary measure, which is in the form of avoiding those contributory factors which make me violate the commandment. There are contributory factors which force me to violate the commandment. If those contributory factors are taken care of, it is simpler, which means one should be alert. Therefore, the second one is avadhanam. Then the third strategy is when avadhanam fails. Because of what? Non-avadhanam. How does avadhanam fail? By non-avadhanam. Even when the precaution fails and the violation happens, the negative behavior takes place, then also it is not that intense. Everything happens only in a graded scale. If a person practices restraint, a person can carefully avoid escalation or worsening of the situation. This you can easily understand in the context of health. The doctor will say the person who has got some chest problem, heart problem is there, he will prescribe precautionary measures. Don't eat urugai. Do walk regularly and keep your mind calm. Karma yoga for heart. Okay, these are precautionary measures. And when they fail and there is a slight chest pain, then the next stage is what? Managing the situation before it goes beyond hand. If you are driving the car, they will say park the car in one area and they would have given some tablet as an akala adakiko. One has cell phone vachiko, ring up the doctor. These are all what? Before things worsen, you control in the beginning stage itself. This is what? Samyamaha, management or restraint. This is the third strategy. Then the fourth strategy is introspection. At the end of the day, I just look at my behavior, my way of life, to what extent I fulfilled my resolve. And that is not enough. For every violation, take a notebook, 24 times, Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha. Theriya bookka vachungo, naray eldhavandhi varam. So therefore, keep plenty of books. Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha. When you write that, there are three benefits. The first benefit is, it serves as a prayaschittam for the violation. Number two, by writing this, I am invoking the grace of the Guru, which includes God also, because Adi Guru is Bhagavan himself. That's why Guru Bhyo Namaha is a plural number. Therefore, it starts from Lord up to my Guru. The second benefit is, by the grace of Guru, the occasions which force you to violate the commandment, those occasions will become lesser and lesser. This is the second benefit. Then the third benefit is, again, by the grace of Guru, there will be change in our attitude also. At present, our attitude is, we consider most of the violations are required violations. We call them necessary evils. We justify those violations. By the grace of the Lord and Guru, our attitude will change, that in due course you will find those occasions in which we feel violation is required, you will soon change your mind and see they are not necessary evils at all. They are unnecessary. So many occasions which you considered violation is required, because of the change of mind, you yourself will see that it is not required. And therefore, there is a change in the situation also, there is a change in your attitude also, which means drastically the violations come down. These are the three benefits when you write Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha as a part of introspection. Introspection in Sanskrit is called Simhavalokanam. Simhavalokanam Nyayaha. Daily night this has to be done. Swamiji, you are giving us too much work and you asked for it. You said, give me something to practice, you had it. And all these four strategies are to be followed on a daily basis. Then comes the fifth and the most important and powerful strategy, and that is study of the significance of every commandment. Why those commandments are important for the society in general and for me in particular, why this commandment is important. Dayananda Swamiji beautifully calls it seeing the value of a value. Therefore, collect as much literature as possible on that value, written by any number of Mahatmas who all have written what all about a particular commandment. That I study during Ahimsa month, I collect all literature on Ahimsa, and minimum 1 hour a week, I'm not telling daily, minimum 1 hour a week should be dedicated to study the significance of Ahimsa. And I should also see why moksha is impossible without following that. I have to see. And not only I have to study the significance of each commandment during that month, I should also study the precautionary measures in general. Just for example, what leads to himsa? Violence is always preceded by anger. The whole precautionary measure means handling the anger becomes precautionary measure for following ahimsa. And then how to handle anger? You study those occasions or those people who are experts in irritating you. There are some people who are experts. Therefore, when such people you have to handle, take some extra. So before you talk to that person, you write 24 times. So therefore, study the precautionary measures in general and the precautionary measures in particular for your day-to-day life. Certain problems are there for one person, is not there for another. Wife and husband problem, that is not there for a bachelor or a sannyasi. For him the problem may be shishya. Chumma chone, ningala nalla shishya. So therefore it varies. Lifestyle varies. And therefore study the precautionary measures. And also study the management damage control method. So this is the study or vicharaha, the fifth strategy. And therefore resolve or sankalpa, avadhanam, taking precautionary measures. Then samyama, restraining once violation has taken place. And then simhavalokana, introspection, and then finally vicharaha. And the final one, vicharaha, can be done individually or even collective. A study group of people who want to implement this project. And during that week, everyone talks about that particular problem in his house. What leads to himsa? How did he handle it? Then you will find that there is an exchange of idea, and also we know where we stand. If our problem is what, we do not know even where we stand. Minimum, like that person said, I studied music for 7 years, and what is the result? I understood that I won't get music. That is a great achievement. Neighbors are saved hereafter. Similarly, I will know where I stand. I can initially start at the grossest level And in each year I can go at subtler and subtler. Each commandment has got a very, very, very subtle aspect also. So what I have discussed today is the grossest form. And therefore the project for 2000 is practicing the 10 commandments. Now, the 11th month should be dedicated to giving up one bad habit that I have. The first bad habit may be telling I have no bad habit. Okay. Just look for anyone, start from grossest physical bad habit. Smoking, drinking, from Hinduism angle, meat eating, snuff, fan chewing, these are all physical ones. Take one per year. Ethra irukko Bhagavan ki thandiriyam. So, take one per year. So, this is dosha apanayana masaha. Removing the dosha. And then in the 12th month, just take one good habit, which you will decide to practice, guna adhana. Krishna describes daivi sampat plenty there, asuri sampat nare kudurgar. One I take, one I give up. And you can choose anything that you need the most. That is a private choice. Just for example, suppose I have a problem of criticizing all the time, then one good value I take is, I should find something to praise others. Everyone whom I come across, I am very good in finding fault. Adhula vandhi expert. But my new challenge is, I should look for at least some good thing which I can praise, which I can appreciate in others. Start from wife itself. Ah, 25 varshama oru nalla vaartha kuda kadichittilla. Therefore, start from wife. Innikku chaapadile aarambichidunga, idu nanna irukku sollunga. So therefore, start with the son, children, husband, your employee. Therefore, just appreciation of the glory. Constructive criticism is necessary for others' growth. We are very good in that. But remember, appropriate appreciation is more important for one's growth, more than even constructive criticism. We don't say constructive criticism is not required. We say it should be complemented and supplemented with appropriate appreciation. This is just one sample good habit. Then we have got 10 months for 10 commandments, 1 month for dosha apanayanam, 1 month for guna adhanam. Then we will see in 2001 what happens. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.